Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the Trade Readers Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you are Nathan, we're brothers. We read comics.
Yes, we do.
A different volume one trade.
Or to graphic be exact. Novel.
Or graphic novel.
Would you consider, what is a graphic novel?
Not anthologies though. A graphic novel is when it comes out, all collected, no floppies.
No floppies?
At any point.
Okay.
Trade paperback. All the floppies are collected.
Okay. That makes sense.
So that's what I distinguish. Some people will just
call anything a graphic novel.
Yeah. If it's got pictures, you know, just because they think that's like proper, I guess, or more professional sounding.
Yeah.
But that's how I always extinguish.
But I'm not a douchebag. So.
Right.
These are comics.
Yeah. They're all comics. They're all under the umbrella of comics.
Yes, sir.
I think like. Dad used to think like that was like the comics was almost like a shameful way to talk about it. He's like, oh, I mean graphic novel, you know?
Yeah,
as if like,
yeah, I said that to us a couple times.
Yeah,
as like, if, no, dude, they're comics.
Yeah, it's all comics, like we're not like ashamed.
Yeah,
but anyway, we got different time codes in our description. We got the book, the graphic novel.
Yeah, let's be politically correct,
which is the other side. We got Background Matters, the pull list, but we start with the news. What kind of news you got?
Not a whole lot, I feel like, happened this week. But Jane, Silent Bob are going to cross over with the Riverdale people. With Archie in a one-shot this summer. So that's pretty cool.
Written by Kevin Smith.
Yeah, that'll be pretty sweet. He hasn't written a comic in a while, I don't think. So
last thing I remember was, I think he did something in like Batman 1000.
He did Hit Girl, I think.
That was Jeff Lemire.
I think Kevin Smith might have came back for something.
He might have.
For one of them.
That's cool.
So yeah, pretty sweet. I've never watched any of those movies, Jay and Silent Bob.
I've seen Clerks. And I've seen...
Isn't that different? I know that those two actors are in there.
So Clerks is like Kevin Smith's first movie.
Are they Jay and Silent Bob in that movie?
Yeah.
Ooh.
And I've also seen Dogma, which they're also in.
Yeah. Never heard of those. I've heard of Clerks. I haven't heard of Dogma.
Dogma is really good. You should watch it. It reminds me a lot of Preacher, but it's got some weird licensing thing to where like you can't stream it anywhere. You like literally have to have like the DVD of like when the DVD was released.
Whoa, cool.
I only watched it because mom showed it to me.
Why?
During the pandemic. And she like put something out on Facebook. It was like, does anyone have the Dogma DVD?
Wait, why was she wanting that?
I don't know. She just thought it was a good movie and thought I would like it. And I did. And lo and behold, she knew someone on Facebook that had the DVD and let her borrow it.
Whoa.
I'm like, hell yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
The physical media peeps that when the world was ending, they were ready.
Yeah. She's got physical media Netflix, apparently.
Yeah.
She's just Facebook.
Nathan, One Punch Man, season 3, got a trailer.
Really? I missed that.
Yeah, it's supposed to be coming out in October.
Okay, cool.
And I think...
What's it been, 2 years?
Season 2 came out in, like, 2019.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, I remember it coming out because I was training at State Farm.
Oh.
And
I thought that was during pandemic when it came out.
Nah, just before.
Dang.
So, long fucking time.
That's crazy.
I don't even want it anymore.
Because the gap between season 1 and 2 is super long too, right?
Pretty long, yeah. Mm.
That's okay. I'm willing to wait.
Yeah, so that's cool.
Yeah.
I didn't really watch it because I don't care to see what happens, you know? As long as I just was looking for a date, mostly.
Okay.
You know?
I like the show.
Yeah, good show. One of my favorites.
They know there's going to be a new Thunderbolts book that is coming out. And it has a little asterisk because, you know, because the movie does. And this comic's also going to have the asterisk. And that's how you know that you should buy the comic book because it's the same as the movie one.
Is it the prequel comics where it's just like...
No, it's a completely just separate thing. Do you want to hear the team?
Yeah.
We have Winter Soldier, Black Widow, Clea. Remember Clea? She's like the magic girl, the Doctor Strange magic girl.
Like his wife or something?
Sometimes.
Aren't they a thing?
They're like a thing sometimes. I think it was like Charlize Theron popped in for a second. Namor, the Hulk, Carnage, and then X-23 Wolverine.
Jesus Christ. I hate that.
That's a dartboard team if I've ever seen it.
Written by Al Ewing.
No.
I just assume.
That would be kind of crazy, though, if you just binked that. No, it's Sam Humphries, and the artist is Tan Lima, who I'm not super familiar with. But
Well.
Carnage on a team. What do you think about that? That sounds fun.
Well, isn't like.
Carnage is probably different now.
Isn't Eddie Brock like Carnage right now or something?
I don't know. There's like a new person that's Venom. And so, yeah, probably Eddie Brock is Carnage.
Yeah, I don't even know if that's been announced yet, but.
So then how would you know?
Who you Venom leaks? Is?
Oh, you're saying, okay, I see.
Nathan, you like Adventure Time?
Yeah, I haven't watched it, but I like it.
Like at all?
I've watched like a couple episodes randomly, but I haven't put in the effort.
There's Adventure Time comics, and it's getting a, I don't know if you'd call it a reboot, but it's starting with another number one.
Cool.
It's pretty cool. I didn't know anyone on it, but it's coming April 9th.
Not bad.
Pretty cool. And it's got...
Does it look like the show?
Yeah.
The art style? That's cool. I like the vibe of the show.
And then there's connecting covers for the first 5 issues.
Oh, sweet.
It's pretty cool, but it's supposed to be like an ongoing.
Very nice. Very nice. There was a trailer for a Stan Lee documentary. Did you hear about this?
Mm-hmm.
It's called Stan Lee, The Final Chapter. It's a documentary about how Stan Lee was exploited by his former business partners for financial gain. And the trailer just had like some camera footage from a guy that was working with Stan Lee pretty closely and just filmed interactions between Stan Lee and some of the business people that were kind of like bringing him around to shows and
pictures. Sounds like a defamation case already happened.
Yes, it does. And apparently, I mean, I've just seen random things about the guy that's putting it together because he started a Kickstarter for it, but I don't know, maybe he doesn't have the best intentions either. I don't really know, but it's interesting. And I think everybody kind of got the vibe that he was kind of being like run around for like the last couple years of his life. So it would be interesting to see some of the footage that no one else has seen, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of crazy. We got Jack Kirby getting his own documentary and Stan Lee getting probably a more morbid documentary.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd rather.
I think I'd rather the Jack Kirby one just alone.
Because it's like, you know, old stuff people talking about. Like,
they're like, wow, look, he thought of the new gods. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
He's like, he's in the war.
Yeah. Nathan, you like Emma Frost?
Yeah.
Emma Frost, the White Queen.
The White Queen, yeah.
Is a new miniseries. Coming in June from Marvel, written by Amy Chu and art by Andrea DeVito.
Cool.
If you like that. It's supposed to be very scandalous, I guess.
Oh, wow. Something. Okay, well, I'm in.
Yeah. You know, as Emma Frost things are.
Yeah. Yeah, she's cool. She's always kind of just popped in randomly. Mm-hmm. I feel like in a lot of just X-Men media.
I like in the new X-Men.
Yeah, I do too.
Nathan. Return to Skull Island is coming this June 4th.
Is that like Kong?
Kong.
Cool.
And I guess King Kong's going back to Skull Island.
Oh, he's going back.
I guess so. He's on the cover, so I assume.
He's undercover?
He'd be weird if like it's just people going to Skull Island.
Like again?
And there's like no King Kong.
They're like, what the fuck? I thought he was here. Where'd he go?
We missed him.
I see where he sleeps. There's the waterfall where he showers. I'm going
to keep it up with the news, but I could have swore this is where he lived.
Yeah.
That's so crazy. Maybe it's something where they like take him back or something.
What if it's just like super relaxing? He's like, man, that was crazy. And he's just like chilling out.
He's just on a beach.
Yeah, Skull Island.
Coming from Titan Comics. Do they have the...
They have Kong?
I think they have Monsterverse or something.
Titan?
Titan Comics.
No, I think IDW does, don't they?
They might have Godzilla. Aren't they doing Mothra? They might have Godzilla.
Is Mothra Godzilla?
It's through like Legendary.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then it's like Legendary and Titan.
But Kong is Legendary, isn't it?
You mean Godzilla or Kong?
Kong.
Yeah, I think so.
So what?
I don't work there.
Daniel, why not?
I didn't dig.
Fix it. I want to see them fight. Comic book form.
There's also, they have. There's also...
Really?
They announced like a new Godzilla Kong movie. It's going to come out in like 2027.
Dude, that's excellent news.
But they announced it, and I'm like, let's go.
That's fucking awesome.
And I think Monarch, that Godzilla series, got renewed for a second season at Apple.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
you remember that?
No, I never watched it.
I guess Matt Fraction was like a producer on it.
No way.
Yeah, that's like what he's been doing.
Okay, good for him then.
Yeah.
Now he's doing Batman. I'll check it out now. Is he not doing the second season of that?
Very possible.
He's like, you know what? I got it kickstarted.
Like, Ed Brubaker is on like Westworld for like the first season and then wasn't on the rest of it. And that's where I dropped off.
Yeah.
Because I don't agree with that.
That's where it started to suck.
They asked, why didn't you watch season two? And I told him, because
Ed Brubaker wasn't producing lightly.
Yeah, his name didn't pop up in the intro. I watched the intro every single time to see his name.
I couldn't point at the screen and say, I read his books.
I know that guy.
I love doing that.
Yeah.
Anytime the new Daredevil show comes out, I'm like,
Jeff Loeb, I see that. I know. Yeah. Anyway, we got the book called The Other Side.
Written by Jason Aaron, art by Cameron Stewart, colors by Dave McCaig, and lettering by Pat Brosso.
And Nathan, you couldn't wait to read this book.
I couldn't wait.
And you wanted to read this the most out of all the war books.
I did, because it's just been, I just knew about it, you know? And I'm like, that seems good. I'm sure I would enjoy that if I read it.
Uh-huh.
And so that's why I wanted to read this one, and I did like it.
And you wanted to read it so badly that you finished reading it today before you came here.
No, I finished it yesterday.
Okay,
did you finish reading it today before I got here?
No, yesterday.
Okay, see,
Sophia said you need to finish reading.
I was reading the rest of my weekly books.
Oh, your floppies?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you get 7?
I got 8.
Ooh, how much you owe me, but
I think I just need one more. I'm in one more deficit.
Okay,
because you said 9 last week. But I couldn't get there.
Okay. I can remember.
Did you not like this?
No, it's good.
Oh, okay.
It's maybe my least favorite of War Month.
Really?
Just because I liked the others more for certain reasons. Mm. There wasn't a ton of... I guess the plot is the war, you know? But like, I don't know.
This is more straightforward war comic, because the other ones feel like they had little twists.
Right. And I think that's maybe why I like those more. And there is value in just having a straightforward war comic.
Mm-hmm.
This one has like perspectives of like individuals and like their personal experiences. So that's like what I liked a lot about it.
Mm-hmm.
But the art was excellent.
Yeah.
It gave me Derek Robertson vibes.
Totally.
But kind of like also,
I feel like
it kind of reminded me of like Borderlands a little bit with like the hard outline.
Yeah. I feel like I get Derek Robertson when there's like a lot of close-ups.
Yeah.
So just something about that, like, I don't know. There's a level of like grittiness that gives me Derek Robertson sort of vibes from it. So I really enjoy his work on this, and he makes things really depressing.
The artist?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like on purpose.
This book is elevated by his artwork.
Totally.
Like
I would like,
this book is not as good as it is without the artwork. Like, yeah,
as soon as I finished this, I was like, glad that they plugged his other stuff, because now I'm more interested.
I'm like, I need to see what else this guy's doing.
He did like some sci-fi book called Motor Crush, I think.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, I've seen that around, but I've never heard of.
Should we write it down?
Stewart. Yeah, I'd be interested to check it out. But yeah, he's great.
Yeah, I liked him a lot. I love finding a artist in a way.
Yeah,
because like you only really. Either you find him online or something, or you just read a book and you're like, I've never seen this guy. I need to find out what else he's done.
Where is he?
Yeah.
where did he go?
And I feel like that doesn't happen a lot.
Yeah.
So he's very good at drawing faces.
Totally.
There's so many faces in this.
I know exactly
who the main character is.
I was thinking the same thing. And I'm like, I was looking at just some random character. And I'm like, that is a well-designed random dude for him not to come back.
You know? Just a one hitter.
He's got his own facial hair and everything. Like, there's thought.
One panel wonder.
Yeah. So you kind of forget how crucial some of those things are.
And the colors are kick ass. Is there a colorist?
Yeah. Dave McCaig. He's great as well.
That guy's awesome.
There's a lot of really intense stuff in here and like dream stuff. And he really elevates a lot of what's going on there as well.
Yeah. The dream stuff is definitely like my favorite bit.
Yeah. Some of the trippiest.
Yeah.
But I think as far as all of the books for war, I think this is my second favorite, just because it is the most straightforward war comics. This is kind of like what I expected to be reading when we went into War Month.
Yeah, I figured
but
a lot of
War Month was like kind of a lot of war, but with like some twists, you know what I mean? Which is also good, you know, because there's probably plenty of war books, but this is like the most straightforward one I think I've read. So I really like it for that reason.
Yeah, but and it does have its own like nuance to it that makes it special.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
I feel like just like I would just recommend things before this, you know.
That's but also valid. Anyway, let's get into it.
So they split it up by chapters.
Yes.
So kind of like issues in a way. So it's still like a normal comic format. This came out as issues.
So I looked it up.
It did.
It started at Vertigo.
Really?
And then he got the rights to it and I guess reprinted it with Image.
Oh, as OGN.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is why I think we couldn't see probably the individual issues because that would be through Vertigo.
So it's not an OGN.
Yeah. So each chapter was like an individual issue, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, this came out in 2006? What? Holy shit.
What's crazy? What, is that old?
I don't know. Because like I saw the... Because the reprint at Image...
It holds up.
came. Yeah, the reprint at Image came out in 2017.
Yeah.
So I thought that's what we were working with.
That's when I found out about it. Because I was like really into Jason Aaron because he was in the middle of his Thor stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this war book. And then that kind of just stuck in my head for a while if I was ever in the mood to read a war book.
Which, yeah, I like the... After
this month of war books, war's depressing, man.
Yeah.
It makes me not want to read comics as much.
Who'd have thunk?
I thought it would have been just different. I don't know why I thought
I'm sure
that,
it'll be some time before we get to another war book.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, I need a break.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people dying for no reason, I've discovered.
We'll do a chaser month.
I need fucking big robots hitting each other, man.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, the book takes place during the Vietnam War, and we kind of see the side of two different people. One of them is the American Bill Everett from Alabama, who's an American kid that was recruited to the Marine Corps. And on the other side, there is Vo Binh Dai, who is part of the NVA, the North Vietnamese Army. I had to look that up.
Good job, Nathan.
Bill goes through hell in basic training and is even hallucinating about this like dead guy with like no lower jaw. That's pretty fucking creepy the whole time, quite frankly.
He reminds me of like, I don't know, just like the Creepshow guy.
Yeah.
You know, that's just kind of almost the Creepshow guy like narrates, you know, what goes on.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It definitely does.
And so it's just like, this guy is just like
he's a war dude.
A dead veteran,
yeah,
or something. And he's just kind of there throughout the book for some reason.
And he's horrifying.
And he's like my favorite part. I think he's funny.
He always says things too, but since he doesn't have a lower jaw, it's always just like, ah.
Yeah. You know?
He's still got a tongue, which is also horrifying at the same time. But anyway, Everett's also hallucinating his like gun talking to him, saying some pretty dark stuff. And then Dai focuses on honing his skills in to like fight with honor and protect his land and stuff on the Vietnamese side. But Bill Everett is flown to Vietnam and both sides are kind of scared for the war to come. And that's pretty much the first issue. But yeah, so we see a lot of the super creepy hallucinations. The probably like one of my favorite pages is like he's imagining a bunch of like war veteran people that are like zombies almost coming after him. And there's a part where one of them yells at them and like spits maggots at his face. And all the maggots are saying like, why?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck is this, dude? Like, it's crazy.
Because like, how does he have these like PTSD dreams already?
I think, you know, he's just worried about war.
Yeah,
and, like, scared of it. So, and like, I think he had some family that were a part of it, but I don't think this is like his second tour or whatever. So, And then the gun that's like talking to Everett like the whole time, saying like super dark things, like to put the gun in his mouth and stuff, is wild.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people talking to Everett that aren't like existing, but very clear representations of his fear of war. And then also, you know, leave it to Jason Aaron to have some really colorful language for the sergeant dude that's like training them. There's like a full couple panels where he's just coming up with like really creative, I don't know, slurs or like things to call people, names for people.
Very colorful language.
Like pecker woods, porch monkeys, some slurs, but you also get like shitbirds, fuckwads, fat bodies. So some fun stuff in there. Very Full Metal Jacket.
Have you seen that?
No. I've seen clips of it.
Really?
On TikTok.
You have a strange algorithm.
Well, it's just like, I think it was like Vincent D'Onofrio stuff.
Yeah,
I was like, just like getting
some early on, yeah.
Yeah. That guy's had a crazy career, Vincent D'Onofrio, if you think about it.
Yeah. He was in
Men in Black.
Men in Black. Yeah.
He's a cockroach. But yeah. So pretty good first issue.
There's a lot of comics in this.
Dude, yeah, there is. And I love that. I love when comics are in comics.
Yeah, one guy's
reading
Sergeant Rock.
Oh yeah, Sergeant.
Yep. Sergeant Rock. That was cool.
He's like, how do I do this shit? And he's like looking at comics. There's like some Batman comics I remember. There's a Superman comic. And apparently there was a Superman comic during the Vietnam War where Superman goes to Vietnam. I think that's like in the second chapter or something where that's like brought up. But I just thought that was interesting because it's probably real.
Maybe.
And it makes sense that they're able to like print those covers because they're real DC covers, because this was originally printed at Vertigo. So I'm sure you got the okay.
Yeah.
So that was pretty fun.
It's strange, like kind of the military culture in like Vietnam, because they're very like willing to fight and very prepared to die.
Totally.
For like this cause.
Yeah.
Like the first caption on this one page from Vo, he's like, I've decided to keep a record of my journey, for I know that my family will cherish it once I am dead. And like, dead's all caps.
Yeah. I'm like, did you capitalize that?
He's fucking ready.
Yeah.
And so that like zombie bit that you were talking about.
Yeah.
I think one of them said like I died for a nameless hill.
Yeah.
Which is like heavy, because a lot of, like even in like Punisher, the that platoon. Yeah. They were like defending this hill.
And they're like,
and that's just like what they had to do. That was their like post or whatever.
Yeah.
And yeah, you just like will be fighting in warfare, and like you could die just defending a hill.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like
not really knowing the nature why of it. You're there necessarily, and like won't be reported on really either.
Yeah.
But yeah, this part where he sees like a lot of sort of corpses reanimating, it's like ways that they died. And he was like, I was fragged by my own troops, or I had a baby I'd never seen. Like, that's crazy.
It'd be kind of cool if like, so I like the hallucinations and dream part.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be cool if like maybe like through his travels, he's going to different like parts of Vietnam and, you know, war zones and stuff where there's been death already. And then maybe like
seeing he's those
hallucinating.
Later.
Yeah, he's hallucinating like those spirits or whatever, and then kind of seeing how they died.
That's what I thought was gonna happen.
Right.
Through this, because that would be traumatizing too.
Yeah. Know?
So it would come up naturally.
Literally just like his mind making up what he thinks happened.
Yeah. And but there's like deaths that he's seen and they don't come up later in dreams, you know?
Right.
And so you'd think that there would be an opportunity for them to bring that up, because that is probably more vivid than just like a random, I don't know, army veteran corpse that he's, zombie corpse that he's just made up. So
yeah,
I agree. I thought the same thing.
I didn't think that until just now, but maybe I just wanted more of the hallucinating, just because it was very colorful and
it's crazy. Intense.
Yeah.
So chapter two, Everett and Dai are traveling with their respective units. One of the men in the American platoon gets shot by a sniper. So they don't really know. They kind of know vaguely where the sniper is, so they carpet bomb it in that sniper's direction. Meanwhile, Dai is trying to bury an NVA soldier, but the body was taken, so he goes to find where the body was, and it was like some tigers that are like around a tomb.
Crazy.
Which is like, and then he's there and he's like, I'm gonna shoot you. And he doesn't like really know if these are like spirits or if this is like real, I guess, but the tigers kind of leave him alone. He's like, wow, that was crazy. And then later on, another sniper shot, like, is shot at the Americans, and then, you know, no one dies that time. And then Dai's group is getting escorted at night through the forest by a civilian.
Someone's got a flash book in this issue.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And then
it's like the famous one, isn't it? Where it's like the multiverse was introduced.
Is it?
It's like that. It's that cover where it's like the Flash running on one side of a brick wall.
Yeah.
And then Jay Garrick is like,
yeah,
on the other side. Yeah. But then there's like a War Stories comic.
I guess it is all DC stuff. So it makes sense that it would come out of DC.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like War Stories, which I think
was probably a DC
published
thing, maybe.
Yeah. I'm not too worried about that. But there was like a dude who just like had a lot of the comics.
Yeah.
You know? Some nerd, and he had like GI Combat and stuff like that.
And so he's the one that gets shot. And he's like, this guy was just some dude in his mom's basement reading comic books. I'm like, chill out.
Relatable. I'm like, first off, you know who your audience is. Why would you shoot, shoot that guy?
Yeah, come on. You're saying I wouldn't survive in war like this? But yeah. What I think is interesting is that like a big part of this book is just the traveling that both platoons do.
Yeah.
Like they're walking on foot for like a big chunk of this, and some of them are dying to like different causes and like malaria. But you like never really think about how that was like, that's pretty much like the whole war experience for these people, just like walking around trying to find war in action. But there's also another hallucination. Everett like shoots a boar a bunch of times after he's like eating the like dead, the crispy dead body of the dude that was carpet bombed. And then later when the sniper shot is hitting the group, he dives down next to the boar, and the boar that's is freshly dead is telling him like, you're gonna die.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is insane.
So Everett gets like shot in the head, but like ricochets off his helmet.
Yeah, he got really lucky.
Yeah, always wear a helmet.
Exactly. There's also a frog that grew.
Oh, dude, he's got like a third eye.
And there's a frog that grew a third eye because of Agent Orange shit, which is crazy.
Don't like that
at all.
Did they say that specifically?
Yeah, it was like part of the civilian, like scarred up lady that's escorting the NVA around. She like mentions it. She doesn't call it Agent Orange because I think that was named like a little bit later. But yeah, it was known to cause a lot of deformities.
So as Everett's like coming into the country, they're like rolling through like some towns and villages or whatnot.
Yeah.
And he's saying that they're there to like protect those people, but they didn't seem like excited to see them.
Well, yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Because if there's like,
just keep it away from civilians.
Just like why do they need to be here? Like if there's troops coming in from another country, coming into your land, and like, we're going to protect you by fighting people from your country kind of deal, it would not feel great.
But why would he think that they're there to protect them?
Oh, I don't know. That's probably what he was told.
Because, yeah. Okay. Well,
I can understand from their perspective. Because it's like, oh, this is war happening.
As far as I understand, like the Vietnam War is like the North Vietnam and South Vietnam.
Yeah.
Attacking each other. So it's like, and then just sides.
Yeah. And they just kind of meet in the middle.
Right. So I guess just keeping more in like war zones rather than civilian areas.
Yep.
But chapter three,
we see Dai's squad get bombed, and then Everett gets helicoptered to Khe Sanh base that's under siege. So like he kind of gets flown into action. And this is the first time he's seen like real action. He's like in the trenches for the first time, and the battle lasts for like days, and he's not getting much sleep because there's constantly bombs going off. Meanwhile, Dai spends couple weeks traveling at night with this squad, sleeping in tunnels, and he's like losing people to malaria. There's one dude that like in his sleep unpinned a grenade and like blew himself up.
Yeah.
And then the issue ends with both sides kind of starting their own separate battles, like they're both about to fight but not each other yet. So But there's a part where Dai's team is getting gunned down by like an American helicopter, but Dai kind of sees it as like a dragon that he has to like fight. And I really like that sequence because he's kind of, I don't know, hallucinating it or whatever, sees it, or, you know, symbolizes it with that. And he just like chucks a grenade at it and takes it down. And I'm like, that's that's badass. Because he just like Hail Mary'd that shit and it worked out.
You see a grenade, you're like, grenade.
Yeah.
Or you see a fucking dragon, you throw a grenade at it.
Yeah. I mean, I would if I had it, you know, but.
You know, I kind of missed that bit. I mean, like, I remember seeing it, but I don't think I really processed what was happening.
Yeah. Because it is trippy because, like, as he's getting shot at, the bullets are, like, talking to Vodai, you know? And so just the way that this whole scene is, like, represented, I think is pretty cool. And, Daniel, there's a couple cool war lines that I wanted to highlight.
Okay.
There's one. It was, survival is overrated. Survival is for cockroaches. And I'm like, that's badass.
That is kind of cool.
And then there's, this is not our war, Everett. It's theirs. We're just the ones that have to fight it. And I'm like, that sucks, but it's kind of cool.
Yeah, at the same
time. Kind of a cool line.
That's true.
Yeah.
There are some people in this village, I think it was more, I'm not sure who it was really, but they had these villagers like dig a hole just for them to execute them in it.
Yeah.
Like they're digging their own grave, basically.
They dug their own grave. And then, you know, I wonder how they, if they knew that that was going to happen just then.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah, I was just like, God damn, it's brutal. Yeah,
it's very dark. So that's like Viet Cong that was doing that.
Oh, it was. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And so what, one thing that does kind of get me about this book is that I think I would have appreciated if some of the dialogue boxes were colored differently for either Vo or be
like,
Everett.
It'll switch between pages even. Like it'd be like one page Everett, one page Vo.
I found myself having to like reread a page because I would realize that it's one character talking or
it is normally like what whoever's in the panel though.
Yeah, typically. But it does kind of switch in between the page, and I just think logistically in my mind, I've gotten used to just people coloring thoughts differently, and I think that would have been effective here.
Yeah.
For flow purposes. But yeah, what else happened?
I've even experienced like in some books, they like overdo it. Like they'll have a caption box that is like what smell is in the air, and they'll have another colored caption box for what you're hearing. Mm. I think it was the Death of Wolverine that did this. It was just like all kinds of things.
And it's like, who's saying this?
To add to like the, yeah, it's like, it isn't like anyone
narrating. Right?
Yeah. It's just kind of like, different, I don't know, facts kind of thing.
Different senses.
Yeah, it's a little weird. That's interesting. I kind of liked it, but I'm like, is this how far comics have come? You know, yeah. Are all of them going to do this now?
What was smelling? Was it like red?
It was like cigarettes or something, or smoke.
But like what color was this?
I think
sense?
It was, I don't remember. It was years, but probably red.
Death of Wolverine. I don't think I read that one all the way.
Really? It's good.
I think I read the last issue.
Should we do a Death Month?
Dude, Death Month would be crazy.
Death of Superman, Death of Wolverine, Death of...
There's like the ultimate Spider-Man death that's pretty big. We just do that trade. Where like ultimate Spider-Man, Peter Parker. And then Miles Morales is like, you know, I'll do it. There's that one.
We'll see. I'll write it down.
What are other good deaths? Does Batman die? We do all of Nightfall.
Yikes.
No, he doesn't die there, though.
Death of the Inhumans?
That one's pretty good. A lot of people die in that one.
And they haven't come back.
Yeah, you're right.
It almost like it means more, you know?
Yeah, true. It's a death that's still a thing. That would be a good month. Because those are pretty fun for the most part.
Yeah, they're all fun.
Yeah, they're all fun. All good fun. I haven't read The Death of Superman either.
Yeah.
So, chapter 4. So, during the battle at Khe San, where Everett is, Everett sees a butterfly and he wants to protect it. And so he kind of jumps out in front of the front line and he's like, wait, everybody hold your fire. And then the sergeant is like, what the fuck are you doing? And while the sergeant's like trying to get Everett to go down, he's shot and killed trying to save Everett. Like he's shot in the neck, pretty brutal. And then later Everett sees even more ghosts and has crazy dreams about war. And like he's starting to see like the veteran corpses kind of at his church at home and stuff like that. But then on the other side, we also see Vo Dai is dreaming about war, but we kind of see his perspective lapse a little bit because he's thinking about he could have just been like, you know, on the rice farms, or he could have like had a nice woman at this point if he wasn't in the war. But then he realizes that like when he wakes up, he realizes he fights for the noble cause of defending his land and his family. So that's pretty much this issue. There's a lot of just like dreams and like big dream sequences, which are really cool.
Everett like gets a letter from home.
Yeah.
And the mom's like writing it and she's like, your dad says, roll tide.
Like, he's killing people.
I'm like, that's exactly what he needs right now.
Yeah, the letter sequence is interesting because they're like, you know, the family's trying to keep it light. You know, ask how he is, obviously, but keep it light. But then when he writes back, he's obviously leaving out some details about his experience.
Yeah, and, yeah, lots of friends.
Yeah, he's like, I got all new friends, mom. And then he's like, thanks for praying for me kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But like, there's clearly a lot that's haunting him. And so it's kind of interesting. Like, I don't know what I would say in that situation necessarily, but you'd want your family to think that you're okay and not think like, oh, I saw a dude bleed out the other day.
Yeah.
You know? So.
I think I'd be like cynical and write all that shit in there. be like, my star just got shot in the neck right in front of me. His blood is all over my face.
But I saw a butterfly.
I was trying to protect this butterfly.
And then
my gun tells me to put it in my mouth.
Yeah, my gun wants me to kill myself or other people constantly. And there's a dude with no jaw. I love when
he, in the first issue, he like goes to a therapist, like a war therapist or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's like, the guns talk to me and I see dead people or whatever. He's like, do they ever tell you to hurt yourself or anyone? He's like, yeah, sometimes. And he's like, suck it up or whatever. He's like, and then
still send him out there. You're not old enough to be crazy for more yet. So just get out there.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, he did try and draft dodge a couple different ways. Yeah. I don't know if the military knows that, but he tried to like get STDs. Mm-hmm. And he tried to say that he was gay and he was going to like fuck everybody.
Yeah.
But it didn't work out. So I don't think they care that much. But we also see like Vo Dai's nightmare about Americans killing like a lot of his people and like taking over. And that one's crazy too. Because in his dream, he's like just on top of like a hill of just bodies. And that one's pretty wild.
I think this book does a good job of displaying like the randomness of war.
Yeah.
Because like that butterfly scene, like he sees a butterfly, he has like a lapse in judgment. Mm-hmm. And then
wants to protect
and that. Then gets his Sarge killed because he's being dumb. And so there's just all kinds of stuff like that.
There's that feeling that anything can happen at any time.
Yeah.
Because like the sniper bullets were coming out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think they do a pretty good job with that.
And with like the letter that Everett got, he got like some fried like pies
that they sent. I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, I guess you can.
Like, bro, send me chicken nuggets every month.
It seems hard to send like
pies,
any kind of food. And if you look at them, they're like in pristine condition. Like, you think with like international shipping, they get fucked up.
Yeah, they don't care what's going on with the packages.
Yeah, and then like the mom's like,
the pies,
make sure you share with your platoon or whatever. And like, I wouldn't fucking tell anybody, dude.
Oh yeah, they do look fine. That's so interesting.
You're surviving on like MREs. They look like empanadas.
Yeah, they do. That sounds good.
Alabama empanadas.
Yeah.
There is a little thing that I noticed that I know you didn't, but there's
try me.
So Everett's like in church.
Oh yeah, that's the Sarge guy. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's like covering his ears.
Uh huh.
And then like his dad's covering his eyes, and then his mom's covering his mouth.
Uh huh.
And that's like the speak no evil, hear no evil, see no evil.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't catch that. You were correct.
Yeah, you know.
Wow, look at you.
Yeah, I pick up on metaphors and underlying meaning.
You know, it's just symbolism. You need to have like pretty high
IQ. You know, I like to go past the page. You know what
I mean? I see beyond, you know, what's at the surface.
I'm not just here for the shooting, Nathan.
I am. Yeah, that sequence is really cool where he's like in the church because the art style of him changes like quite a bit. There's like a little cartoon kind of shoot 'em up cowboy dude, and there's like different stages of his life. So it's very interesting. This is like probably my favorite issue just because of those weird dream sequences.
Yeah, it's a good one.
But then we go to chapter 5. So the two sides of this story, both Everett's platoon and Vodai's group, squad, platoon, whatever they call them, they finally converge with a battle at Kaesan base. The NVA soldiers start charging at the trenches, and like while they're sort of charging in the no man's land area, they're hitting mines and returning gunfire. And Everett's kind of firing shots into the crowd, and one of them happens to hit Vo Dai, who then bleeds out and dies hunched over some barbed wire. And then Everett kind of pulls himself together to finish the fight. And then after the fact, he loots Vo Dai's body, finding his notebook, which has all of pretty much the captions that we've been reading up to this point. So very real, very raw stuff. You can't read it, but Everett eventually makes it out of the war, not really knowing what it was all for, really, but he's forever haunted by the whole experience and the life of Vo Dai that he took. And so,
yeah, Vo Dai was like shooting first.
Yeah, he was shooting first.
So he's way more ready. Defense.
Yeah, totally. Super like unsettling ending, but I knew they were probably going to meet in some capacity in this book.
I didn't really expect it, really.
Like,
it could have happened.
I kind of just figured, and I was like, I wonder if they both survive or if they both die or what.
I thought it'd almost be like they are meeting up at a certain point, but then maybe like the war is over at a certain point and they don't have to fight,
and they just like,
and they just like acknowledge that they're like, oh, just shit, they're following orders.
Yeah, totally. I think that's totally plausible too. And so when he gets shot and he actually dies, I'm like, this is brutal, because he's way more committed to this war thing than like Bill Everett is.
Yeah.
And it kind of just speaks to like the unfairness and like uncertainty kind of war.
Yeah.
And then this page where he's like, this page is brutal because he's like, I'm the 19-year-old son of former, you know, farmer, and, you know, and
his like life flashed before his eyes basically.
Yeah. And then it ends with, in this life, I'm a soldier. Only the God knows what I'll be in the next. And I'm like, this guy's dying. And then, it's such a dramatic page.
And then like, he like his like sergeant or whatever like makes him like search his body.
Yeah,
because I guess that's just what they do. They just after
for ammo and stuff, I assume. Yeah, but
takes his pocket watch.
Yeah, what the hell?
I mean, who knows where it'd end up if he didn't take it? But
yeah.
So and then this ended up not being like a full battle. Like it was just like a probing attack.
Yeah,
which is,
and then the full attack never happened, I guess.
Yeah,
and so they were, you know, taken out of the war. But
the way that the NVA approached this is that they sent dudes in their underwear with these little like bombs, I guess, like manual bombs that set off in order to blow up like the first
round of mines, I guess.
Yeah, round of, oh, I guess they had sticks that would touch the mines.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're doing. But it blew up like the first set of like barbed wire, you know? And I just thought that was crazy. Like that just sending people.
How do you get that job?
Just like, you know what I mean? Shoot at it, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Or shoot like, at the ground and then go from there.
If you
there.
Have a stick, like maybe try it. And
they do have a stick, and that's how they died.
I know, but like maybe you find a longer stick.
Yeah, I thought they were like bombs that this would only go off like manually or something.
Yeah. Wild.
Yeah, so just kind of crazy.
That they have like those
inhumane
people.
Ways of warfare.
Totally. And what's crazy about this is like he's back home. He's obviously not adjusting well to like being back at, like back home.
He doesn't like the food like his mom makes.
Yeah, he like
his,
throws
like,
up
bed
because
is like
food.
Too soft.
Yeah. And know? So it's interesting because for most of the book, all Everett was wanting was to just return home. But now that he can't even function properly because of like the PTSD and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, something that you don't really think about too much either.
Yeah.
And then you also see the page where Vo Dai's family is like eating dinner alone, like just them, next to like the shrine that they made for their son. And
yeah,
that's very sad. And then just Vo Dai's notebook, the one that he was writing so that his family could hopefully get it, or like somebody would read it and know his sacrifice, is just kind of in a military intelligence closet somewhere.
Yeah,
because Bill Everett turned it in to people. So
his family never
really
got
knew
it,
what happened. Yeah. Yeah, or never knew his experiences or how brave he was, really. So yeah. Brutal.
He was like, when Everett had it, he was like staring at it, you know, trying to make sense of what it was. He doesn't know Vietnamese or anything.
Right.
So he's just kind of looking at the pictures and
he's
stuff.
He's like, maybe I can learn.
Yeah.
And then there's like this one last dream sequence where he turns in the notebook. And it seems like he's kind of like plummeting to hell or something. So I don't really know what the point of the sequence is. But he's like about to fall into like this pit of like lava or something. And then there's people that are like,
I just assume that he thinks he's going to jail because he killed a person and he's going to hell.
Yeah.
And because he killed a person and he just like,
they're trying to like drag him in.
He learned more about that person rather than seeing them as just like the enemy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
But that's the book.
Yeah.
Pretty fun. So let's go into Back Matter Matters.
Back matters.
There's some great back matter in this.
Yeah, a lot of stuff.
Did you read through it all?
Nope.
Okay. It's actually really cool. But the first one's like an afterword from Jason Aaron. It's a remembrance of Gustav Hasford. Apparently, Jason Aaron's cousin served in Vietnam War and was later a screenwriter that had his novels picked up by Stanley Kubrick to be used as the basis for Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, cool.
Isn't that crazy?
That's very crazy.
And so he like, that was like his cousin. He would like, he knew like some of that dude's platoon buddies. And he was
so
like,
he's
go
a nepo
to,
baby.
Kind of, I guess. I didn't know that either. I'm like, so that's kind of how he got into screenwriting or just writing in general. He was like the first person I knew that made a living off of writing.
Yeah.
Strictly. But he just kind of talks about how he would go to like these get togethers. He was lucky enough to be a part of the get togethers where his cousin and then his other like platoon people would just kind of drink a beer and talk. And so
that's gotta be fucking wild.
Yeah. And it's because he's very like appreciative that he got to experience and listen to just what they had to talk about. So that's pretty cool. We also get some page scripting and stuff. And then we also get a diary from the artist Cameron Stewart, who I guess took a month long trip to Vietnam to just, I don't know, kind of observe it. I don't really know if he was there for this book. This is in 2005 and the book came out, you said 2007. So maybe it was for this book, but I don't know.
Crazy research.
It is crazy research, but I read through it and I'm like, yeah, that's kind of how, I mean, I've been to Vietnam, Daniel.
Yeah,
I
don't know if you know. Yeah.
But yeah, he talks about how the traffic is crazy. And that's kind of my big takeaway is that there's no really traffic laws. So everybody's just kind of like on motorcycles doing crazy shit.
Mm-hmm.
So he talks about that and then like the food. And then there's these like tunnels that were like actually real that tourists can go visit.
Dude, the fuck? That's like as big as his shoulders.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to go do this and I said no.
Dude, I get stuck in there.
But now I kind of regret it because I'm like, that'd be kind of cool.
That's like a doggy door.
Yeah, but these are like super long tunnels that are just kind of all over Vietnam. So
are they that narrow?
They're pretty narrow.
Like throughout, or is it like
the wide? Tunnels themselves, I think there's like just enough room to like stand up if you're pretty short.
Uh-huh.
But going into the tunnels, that's typically what they look like. Yeah.
I don't think so, dude.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
You've been there?
No, like, I don't think so. Like, no way I'm doing that.
Yeah, that was like one of the things that was like an excursion on the cruise that I went on. And I was like, I would rather do something else. So
there's like crazy, like, I don't know if it's like a sewer, like tunnels that are like under France.
Really?
That it's like the catacombs or something. I can't remember what they call it.
Whoa.
There's like a whole horror movie that I saw called like As Above, So Below.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And it's like based in that, and that movie scared the fuck out of me. And so
I haven't seen that one.
No, yeah. Shot I would be doing something like that. But
cave movies are fucking scary. I've only seen The Descent, but
The Descent's like one of the scariest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's horrifying.
I own it because I just think it's awesome.
I need to rewatch it.
You can borrow it.
But yeah, he kind of talks about his experience in Vietnam, and he also had the thing I talked about a couple weeks ago where it's like the Vietnamese people there are like super friendly. Yeah. They'll like go out of the way to say hi to you and like talk to you and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, I'm glad it wasn't just like me feeling weird about that. But he talks about that, which is cool. Then we get a sketchbook of the characters. So we get one for Bill Everett and Vo Dai, which is pretty cool. And his sketches are so good.
Yeah,
like this. Just like having done. Like this page, like this would be such a sick page to just have, and it's just like a sketchbook.
Yeah, you know? That's like a cover.
Yeah, totally.
You know, he just like draws, and then they're just done.
Yeah, and then he has some like, you know, promotions for San Diego Comic Con and stuff, and then we get the creator bios, and then some plugs for the other stuff. But yeah, that is the book. What would you rate this book, Daniel?
I'd rate it like some pho.
Dude, I was gonna do pho.
Because
he mentions pho in the book.
Yeah, Vo was talking about how his mom makes pho.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of. So
what'd you put in the pho?
Shit it comes with? I don't know.
Sriracha?
What okay, do you mean? Good.
Well, like, I guess when I go to different pho restaurants, there's like different meats and stuff that you put in there.
Oh, I think I normally just do like a beef or something.
Yeah, beef is the right choice. I used to do chicken. I don't know why. Because it's dry, even though it's in pho.
It's like beef or pork.
Pork is good, too. Yeah, I'd probably do the same. Some pho. But pretty good. This is, you know, pho in the sense that it's
do
like...
Do you fuck with this?
I fuck with this. And I rate it pho because when I eat pho, I'm in the mood for pho. And then I eat it, and I'm like, that was good. I'm glad I had it. You know what I mean?
I think me and Sarah have only had pho, like, together once.
Anytime it rains, Sophie wants to eat pho.
That's good. Probably more go towards, like, ramen. But
yeah,
nice.
I feel like whenever I eat pho, I have to get more noodles than what they serve because I'm a fat ass.
It always seems like they give you more than what would fit in the thing that they give you with the broth, you know?
Yeah. But that's if you're doing takeout.
Yeah. We don't really go.
Oh, I hate pho with takeout because like I got to do all this shit myself.
Dude, one time I got pho in college, like in my dorm. And so I was just like putting all the shit in there, like on the ground. I spilled it everywhere, of course. And I think that's the first time I had it.
That's funny.
And I'm like, why is there extra steps?
What do I do?
I got to make it.
I have ramen here. I didn't want to make it.
Yeah.
That's funny.
No, good stuff.
So let's get into the poll list, Colin.
Show in your box.
The poll list, the poll list. What did you shove in your box?
What do you got this week, Nathan?
A bit of a light week. I got Absolute Superman number 5.
Yes, sir. Same.
Green Lantern Corps number 2.
Okay.
And then The Moon is Following Us number 7.
Okay. Yeah, I think I just have soups.
Yeah. So light week. I think I ordered them. The Ashav website like kind of fucked up and it said just wait. It told me like wait before I tried again. So I don't know if the order went through.
You should like message them.
Yeah, I'm going to. Yeah.
I was kind of missing like X Factor. So I'm like I'm wondering if they have like the rest of the issues because I'm missing like 6 and 7 and the 8 came out today.
Mm.
So if they have them, I might get those since it's been like the last 2 weeks. I've only had like one thing.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Okay.
What did you read, Nathan?
I read a lot of books. I read 8.
Read 8 books. Good job.
I need to read 9. I couldn't get there. But I read TMNT number 7.
Okay.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Juan Ferreira turns it up even more.
Ooh.
And I'm like, because like the first issue, I was like, I like this and it's cool and weird, but I was also enjoying some of the other artists. But as soon as I read this issue, I'm like, I'm glad this guy's on it for seemingly long term.
Yeah, he's the man. This is a great pick.
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm really enjoying that. I read Godzilla versus Chicago.
Mm.
And I didn't realize that was an anthology, which is fine.
It's like a bunch of 8 pages or something.
Yeah. And one of them has like Ryan Brown. He's like the main anthology story, so that's like I think about half of the book or like a third of it.
Okay, there's like 2 or 3 stories in there.
Yeah, and his is really funny.
Sweet.
So I like that one a lot. But then there's 2 other stories. I think there's 4 in total, but there's 2 other stories in there where the art style is like really digging as well, and it was like really easy to like read it and have flow. So that was pretty fun.
Nice.
I liked that book. I read Justice League Unlimited number 4. You know, Mark Waid, Dan Mora, can't go wrong. It's crazy.
Just
the things that happen in that book are absurd.
Okay.
And Mark Waid goes really fast. So it's kind of one of those books where there's just kind of a lot of shit happening and resolving like pretty quick.
Do you wish it would like breathe a bit more?
Need it to breathe some more. Because it's too much for me. And I'm having fun with it.
A lot of bang for your buck.
But there's like Swamp Thing's daughter. Like the guy's daughter is in this book. And then apparently
Swamp Girl.
No, she like is connected to the Green. Right. And then they go into the Green at some point because there's this group called the Inferno that's like trying to burn down this big forest for some reason. And so, but she goes into the Green with Aquaman. And then there's just like there's like a lot that's happening. That's all resolved in like a couple pages. You know what I mean? Hmm. So it's like, this would be pretty cool on its own issue.
Yeah.
And I don't know. So
maybe he had like filler pages. You just cut them all out, you know,
maybe. I don't know. But, you know, I'm enjoying it. But I think it will slow down a little bit more because like they resolved all the things through ideas. Right now. Yeah, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. So and then I also read Green Lantern Dark number 2 and 3,
mm-hmm.
which is that Elseworlds book. I'm glad that I remembered what happened in the first one because I got that like 6 months ago or something, I think.
Wow.
But that one's also pretty good.
Sweet.
So I'm really enjoying that. And there's more DC characters other than just like a Green Lantern. So there's like Solomon Grundy like shows up for part of it. And there's like a Beast Boy in there randomly.
Okay.
And so it's just interesting seeing those characters. But I really like the vibe of it all. So I'm interested to see where it goes.
Sweet.
And then I read Absolute Wonder Woman 3, 4, and 5. So I'm caught up on that one now.
Nice.
Oh my God, it's so good.
You like it?
This is my favorite Absolute one so far.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't think it's close. But I haven't caught up on Absolute Superman, so.
Okay.
Just keep that in mind. So basically, I like it better than Absolute Batman is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But it's awesome, dude. It's so good.
Okay.
That's all I gotta say.
All right.
Have you read any of that?
I read number 1.
Okay. Issue 2, fucking rules. And then I read 3 and I was like, I got to catch up on this right now. So
nice.
I like it. What'd you read?
I read Star Wars Legacy of Vader number 1,
mm-hmm.
by Charles Soule and Lucross.
Nice. Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, really good art. I think it's set between 5 and 6.
Okay.
Or no, between 8 and 9.
Oh.
So between Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker.
So is it?
So it's focused, post, like,
it's Kylo Ren Death focused? Of Snoke.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he's the legacy of Vader.
Yeah, yeah.
It's okay. I mean, it feels like Charles Soule Star Wars, you know? So if you like that, then this is definitely more of that.
Cool.
The second one came out today, so that's why I read that. But I'm just going to stick with the one. I caught up on Absolute Superman. So I read 3 and 4.
Nice. 5 comes out today.
Five comes out today. That's really fun. There's, like, I think 3 is just, like, all Krypton shit, which is, I think, cool. Like, a strong aspect of that book. So, good stuff. I like that.
Nice. I'm going to try and catch up on that this week.
Read Ultimate X-Men number 7 and 8.
Very cool.
Very good stuff. They have, a characters page. Yeah. And, like, the second page, I'm like, oh, thank God.
Dude, bring those back.
Those are the best.
Am I insane? Like, bring those back. I need those, especially for X-Men books.
I've only seen it on, like, maybe Avengers versus X-Men.
I've seen it on...
And then I've seen it on, like, The Fade Out by...
Oh, yeah.
Ed Brubaker, because there's so many people.
Totally.
And they're all drawn perfectly to where, like, I don't get confused, but I just forget people's names and stuff.
Yeah.
Especially when it's just, like, all people.
They used to be on, like, Lemire X-Men, and I was like, hell yeah, because I would be reading it, and then I would see the roster page.
If you have more than 5 characters, you have to
do it. It would be, like, 10. There'd be, like, 10 on the roster page. But then there'd be a character that isn't in the story, like, before that is in this one. I'm gonna be like, fuck yeah, I can't wait to read when he's on the page.
How far are you on Ultimate X-Men?
9.
So, you know, like, Psylocke's in it?
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck yeah, this is perfect.
It's awesome.
I'm like, is that Psylocke or is it someone else? But
yeah.
They're like, yeah, this is Psylocke, but it's like maybe not like her name Psylocke or something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. And then I read Justice League Last Ride, number 5 and 6. Just have one more of that.
Cool.
And yeah.
Very nice.
Good stuff. Did you watch anything, Nathan?
I watched 3 movies.
3?
Yeah. One of them was with you.
Yeah.
But I watched Watchmen Chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to wait for you to probably watch that maybe before we talk about it.
Okay.
I did rate it on Letterboxd. I did liked it a little bit less than the first one, which I didn't like a crazy amount anyway.
Sure.
But I watched it and finished it because I was doing laundry anyway. So
it's a laundry movie. But
I did care enough to pause when I was like going to put laundry away.
Okay.
So if that's anything, if that means anything to you.
Yeah. I guess you're respecting
it. I will say, dude, the squid fucking rules.
Hell yeah.
This is the best squid.
Good squid.
Best squid of any Watchmen material.
That's good. That's good.
So look forward to that.
What about in the Watchmen show?
Better than that squid.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah. Because this one, it's like, get the fuck away from me, dude.
I guess
like
you see it in action.
They take some creative liberties, which I really enjoy about that too. Also, Bubastis is cool.
Yeah.
The cat, he's big. Nice. I forget how big he is, but I know he's like that big in the comics too.
Yeah.
Good overall. Sweet. The jailbreak scene, pretty fun.
Yeah.
Although I had this thought seeing it in this scene, but you know how they have to like chainsaw that dude's arms off when he's in the cell? Like he's about to get Rorschach and the guy tries to grab him through the grates of the door. And then he just like ties his shirt around the dude's arms and then they chainsaw the dude's arms off.
Yeah.
Why don't they just chainsaw the shirt?
No time.
Dude, that was, if anything, that was quicker and less painful.
I don't remember. And so, I don't think I thought about it.
I'll have to look in. I'm not going to look at the book. Well, maybe it's over there somewhere, but
it is.
But I had that thought. So I was like, that's a plot hole. Anyway, I also watched the Oscar winning movie Flow. Are you familiar with Flow?
I'm aware of it. Yeah.
It's like a silent movie with a bunch of animals.
Is that the best no dialogue animated movie you've seen in recent times?
100%.
It's better than Robot Dreams?
It's better than Robot Dreams.
Because
there's not some fuck ass ending where it's like, oh, you could have just talked to him. You could have been friends. I like both of them, but I like this one better.
Okay.
Apparently it was made on Blender, which you could do for free.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think there's like 3 guys that made it or something.
Yeah. Also, as soon as I watched the movie Flow, I started getting Flow stuff in my algorithm. And the guy that one of the animators of Flow made the cat meme where it's like the Flow cat, but he's like spinning around really fast. The low poly memes. you probably don't have that level of brain rot on your algorithm, but I do. So, I appreciated that. So thank you, Oscar winning animator dude.
Nice.
It's great.
Yeah.
You should watch it. It's well worth it. I was going to watch it to fall asleep and then I was locked in because man, there's some cool animals.
Okay.
And I like what it represents and I like the message. And I think I ultimately took a different message than what they were probably intending.
Okay.
But I like it even more for it.
For sure.
And then we watched Mickey 17.
We did. But before that.
Before that, what'd you watch?
I watched the new episodes of Daredevil.
Oh, yeah. I watched that too.
You did?
Yeah.
Fucking the rules.
First two. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, I loved it. I'm pretty excited about it.
I was cautious. Even like through that first action scene. Spoilers for this, by the way.
Yeah.
We should probably say that. I mean, it'll be like two episodes out by the time this comes out, but
maybe like four
in total. But I was like a little cautious and I was like, okay. But I was watching it and Sophie like didn't care too much to watch it with me, but she came home right as Foggy died.
Oh, so like right when it starts?
Like right when it starts, yeah. And so she watched the rest of the episode with me and she was like, ooh. And I think she just likes it because Karen's not a big part of it
so far. Yeah, so it's perfect for her.
So maybe she's back in.
Yeah, it's cool that they're really focused on like Matt stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
I heard rumors that Foggy was probably going to die, but even when it happened, my jaw dropped. I was like, that's crazy that it happened this way.
Yeah.
And then he like almost kills Bullseye and he like pushes him over the edge. And I'm like, I feel like that's valid. You know, you can't fault yourself too bad for that one.
Yeah.
It kills a lot of people.
Right.
And I really like the fight scene at the end of the second episode as well. When he's like in that dude's house.
Yeah.
And then when the people come in, it's just him and he's smiling there like a little like that shit eating like, grin. Yes.
I'm just a lawyer. He's
like, I don't know where he went. I'm blind, by the way.
And you're gonna punch you out of glasses.
Did he kill those guys?
I think he killed one.
He snaps the neck of one for sure, right?
Yeah, it could have been avoided, but yeah, he doesn't.
I think that's kind of the basis of like the Chip Zdarsky run. So I think there's a little bit of inspiration there. I also think that Chip Zdarsky created characters in this as well, who's one of the detectives.
Okay.
So that's pretty cool. Good for Chip.
Yeah, he's at the premiere.
I'll have to read his Substack and see if he mentions it at all. But
yeah,
I like it. It's pretty fun. I like that they started with like a big fight scene because that's, you know, definitely one of the signatures of the show.
Yeah, it's good.
Definitely some CGI in there for sure, but didn't bother me too much. And I liked the story.
Did you watch the newest episode of Invincible?
That's the Invincible War one.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, I did. Crazy.
Incredible.
Yeah, it was really fun.
This is the best episode, I think.
Best episode of this season for sure. It was just definitely the most exciting. I like the different Invincibles. So I like to see them.
We got Wolfman.
Wolfman. Oh my God. When Wolfman came out, I was like, oh.
Jordan sent me like concept art that he saw like on Twitter or something. Yeah, he's like, dude, Wolfman's in it. I'm like, if you say so.
And then Wolfman was in it, I was like wow.
And then he
died.
Tech Jacket, dude.
I figured that was Tech Jacket.
Yeah, because
I don't really know who that is, but
he's just the guy just in the universe, right? There's a trade and stuff.
Cool. But yeah, this is cool. I like the different marks. I feel like
someone got I think he like discombobulated somebody, like an invincible discombobulate.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh,
I was like, that would hurt. People are calling it the Steven Universe.
Yeah.
Which is an apt name. He did really good voice acting in this because I felt like all the different Invincibles were like either like super cringe in their own way or like super angry in their own way.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty good. And Powerplex, as soon as he was like seeing what's going on, he's like, well, there's more of them, you know. The way that he acts,
there's two of you.
Oh my god, why can't you get away with this? Dude, he sounds like that the whole time. It kind of annoys me a little bit.
No, I love it. I love Powerplex.
Like, and then like when Invincible tries to help, he's like, well, you have no right to show your face here. You know, but yeah, really good episode. I had fun with it.
And then Conquest at the end, dude.
Yeah, Conquest.
Oh, he's here.
I know he's important.
Daddy Dean Morgan.
I don't know what he. Oh yeah, it is Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yeah.
So that's fun.
So that'd be cool.
Yeah, the next finale. Episode, season finale, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so big fight,
and
hopefully.
That's also going to fuck.
Cool.
So pretty excited.
But that whole issue, that in the comics was just one issue, wasn't it? That's what people are
Invincible
saying?
War?
The Invincible War? Yeah.
No, I remember it being like a trade.
Oh, really? Okay.
Because that'd be a lot to fit into just like 20 pages, you know?
Yeah.
It definitely breathes a bit more, and I think you get more time with everybody.
Right.
So I was kind of surprised that it was like just an issue. I'm like, I thought this comes back because I remember being more like span of time.
Oh, also the Angstrom Levy shit where like right after he got his face punched in and he's like still talking.
He's got the medics or whatever.
Yeah. He's like able to like form words, even though his tongue's just like out in like different spot than where it should be.
They could probably get a good idea of like what he wants, you know?
Yeah, since probably. He's
completely smashed.
Yeah, true, true. But yeah, good episode.
Cool.
What'd you watch?
So while I was building stuff,
uh-huh.
I was like watching stuff.
I love to build and watch stuff.
We rewatched Little Fockers.
Okay.
Pretty good.
Really?
I remember not liking it as much as the other ones, but there's some pretty good stuff in there.
Which one of the Fokker verse is that?
That's the third one. That's the one that was almost... I don't
know if I've seen that one.
I saw it in the theaters.
You did?
Yeah, because it came out in like 2010, I think, which is like way later than the other ones, you know?
Yeah.
It's just kind of one of those, maybe there's more juice in this kind of thing.
Meet the Fokkers is the first one?
Meet the Parents is the first one.
Oh, okay.
Then Meet the Fockers is the second one.
Okay, I've seen those two.
Yeah. Yeah, just kind of nostalgic. And so I like that one.
Cool.
And then like, you know, it's him with like kids. And so I'm like, I'm going to experience some of that.
Getting ready.
Yeah. I watched King Kong, the Peter Jackson one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that movie fucking rules.
It is pretty cool. I like it.
It's great on a rewatch.
I like when he's at the ice rink.
Yeah, very nice.
Slipping around.
I'm like, is he going to fuck this girl?
He's risen up this girl pretty well. Better than I've ever done.
Yeah. There's just like so much in that. There's like dinosaurs. I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's a long movie, isn't it?
It's like 3 hours long.
Damn.
Sarah's watching it and she thought it was a part of like the monster universe, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, no, that's a different movie. She's like, because it's like an hour in. She's like, where's King Kong? And like, you have to build it up. It's a monster movie. You can't just show him right away. And
that's funny. Where's Mothra?
And so, yeah, really good movie. What's the other one? We started watching Mowgli.
Oh, okay.
She threw that on. But that movie's kind of brutal.
Mm.
And
not the vibe.
She gets very defensive about, like, I don't know, weak characters, I guess, or characters that get, like, bullied.
Yeah.
There's, like, a wolf or something that's, like, the runt of the pack or whatever, and he gets bullied a little bit, and she's like, leave him alone and shit. Like, yeah, that and it was, and yeah, so we had to like turn it off and shit.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's funny.
But we watched Mickey 17, Nathan.
Yes, we did.
What'd you think?
It's great.
I thought it was a banger.
I thought it was gonna be good, and it was better than I thought.
Yeah, it was.
Mm-hmm.
What's cool is like the first like third of it is a lot of stuff from like the trailer.
Yeah.
But and so I was like, is this all just like trailer shit? But then the rest of it, I'm like, okay, this is all new to us. All stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's how trailers should be, you know?
Yeah. I did the thing where I only watched like one trailer and I was like, I'm sold. I'm going to see this. Mm-hmm. So I didn't catch a lot of the trailer stuff, but yeah, it's awesome. It's like, you know, sci-fi comedy thing. And, you know, I realized Bong Joon-ho has like a pretty big range, even though I've only seen like Parasite and this.
Mm-hmm.
But I was really impressed by that, just in general.
Yeah, I hear like his Korean stuff is all kind of the same, and his American stuff is like pretty similar.
Right.
Did you see Snowpiercer?
No.
Because he did that movie. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, super, super fun. It was like funnier than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was just going to be like satire kind of funny, but not like jokey kind of funny. And it's both. You know what I mean?
It's hilarious. I think it's
so funny. Yeah, we were cracking up like in the theater like a lot because there's like a lot of just out of pocket shit that happens.
Yeah.
And it's so fun. But like I also really just like sci-fi movies that are very ethics focused.
Yeah.
And like, how do you think the world would react if this was a thing that happened in technology now? And for the most part, I think he hits that on the head of like, if this was a thing that you could do and clone somebody, this is probably how American politics would figure it out, and
it had like
not very well.
It had like a vibe that I think only he's able to like pull off, you know?
Yeah.
Like it can be in like kind of weird. I just like how I like felt watching like this world.
Yeah. Totally.
Mark Ruffalo like bodies this. He's so like good. The best part, I think.
I think it's really it could be like really corny if it was like the wrong actor, but the way that he did it is so spot on.
If you like how he acts in this, he does something really similar in Poor Things.
Oh, okay.
His last movie that he did.
Yeah.
He's in that and does like a very similar character.
Really? Okay. I haven't seen that, but
very good.
But yeah, he's so funny. And anytime he's on screen, I probably laughed at least once. You know what I mean? He's a, you know, very clear, you know, representation of a powerful political figure. And I think he just does that so well. Did they have prosthetics on his face? His face looks puffier.
Maybe he had like some veneers that were like haunting.
The veneers were crazy. I did see those. And Toni Collette, oh my God, she's a freak in this.
Yeah, she's funny.
Yeah.
Is it Collette or Collette?
Colletti, Collette, I don't know.
I think it's Collette.
I've heard Colletti, so
I think Colletti is like that. The girl in like the penguin.
I don't know what her name is.
I think it's Toni Collette.
Okay.
But
yeah, Toni Collette, she's great in this as well. I've only seen her in Hereditary, which is a very scary movie. She's very good in that.
Oh, okay.
But in this, she's also very good. So, and then Robert Pattinson, so fucking good.
His voice stuff is like unmatched.
I forget what he sounds like normally.
Yeah, I'm like, do I know his voice?
I'm like, it's only Mickey 17 and 18 for me now.
Do you think he could get nominated for like best actor and best supporting actor?
I saw people saying that. I think people would be up in fucking arms if that happened.
It'd be funny though.
But it would be kind of funny.
I don't think it came out in like a time where it'd really be considered for Oscars, but
yeah, exactly. But I think he just hits it so well. Like, and there are parts in the movie where I'm like, this dude's Batman. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he plays that so well too. He's like one of my favorites. So
yeah, he's
just
great.
Good. I'm glad that he's good at what he does. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's a aspect of this where it's possible to just like clone somebody without, you know, the first one dying, you know, and they call them multiples,
mm-hmm.
but there's just like a straight up clone.
Yeah.
And they show that just like to them, that's like just completely unethical to have, because the guy who like invented the whole cloning thing was also like a serial killer or something. Yeah. And he had a couple clones
so that he could have an alibi for certain murders.
Right. And so it's all kinds of controversy on like who to blame for it.
Yeah.
You know, is it like, did you try all of them or whatever?
And then there's religious dilemmas.
And so I thought that was just like super fucking interesting.
Yeah, I think that's some of the stuff that's really strong in this. And it's like, why not just have multiples if he's expendable anyway? Just the whole idea of expendable is a really, you know, dark capitalistic thing to do in general.
Yeah.
And like anytime there's any sort of remotely dangerous situation, they're like, expendable, get out there. And he's like getting radiation and shit and they're killing him to get vaccines for certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of shows like how a company doesn't care about its employees. And I thought that worked really well. But yeah, a lot of the ethical stuff and thinking about how incompetent America is at handling a lot of these big questions is pretty cathartic to see in a movie like this.
It's only based like 25 years in the future. So I'm like, I don't know if we'd get that far.
No, we wouldn't. But we barely just figured out 3D printing organs. Kind of.
I thought they handled like his like kind of like relationship and like the love representing that
mm-hmm.
really well, because like his girlfriend in this would watch like a lot of the experiments that they do on him.
Yeah. And like,
and there's like a part where he's like in this gas chamber, like working on this like bioweapon kind of thing.
Yeah.
And she would like go in there with him with like a hazmat suit
mm-hmm.
and just kind of
be there for him,
hang on him, hold him.
Yeah, it's really nice. She's great in this.
Yeah, she's an awesome actor.
I looked up her stuff before. I haven't seen her in anything else, but I was,
she's in Blink Twice.
Yeah,
and she's in, that's a really good movie.
She's the main girl in that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, she's phenomenal. I was like, what a good actor.
Yeah,
actress. And yeah, a lot of really good performances. And then there's a lot that when it was like clearly in the last act of the movie, I'm like, I wonder if they're gonna wrap up this random plot line. And they did a pretty good job at the end of being like, okay, here's what happened with this, here's what happened with this, and everything's good, you know, because there's that other potential love interest for the Mickey 17 rather than for Mickey 18. And I'm like, what happened to her? And at the end, you see her with somebody. Or there's like the dude that's on the ship that's supposed to be like collecting debts for that rich guy that is the reason that they're there in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And they wrap that up pretty well. So I was pretty impressed that they like tied up all the loose ends.
Yeah, there's a lot of elements in this.
Yeah, there is, which keeps it fresh, I feel like. So
yeah, it kind of keeps it moving.
Steven Yeun is such an asshole in this. It's awesome.
Yeah, he's good. I like seeing him and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There is
I highly recommend.
There's a funny like Letterboxd review where it's like someone's just put like, this is the printed skin of a killer, Bella. You know? That's funny.
Some people are funny, Letterboxd, man.
Yeah. There was a Wilhelm scream.
Yeah, I saw did somebody mention that, but I didn't catch it in the movie.
So there, people are like running out of a room because there's a gunfire.
Oh, and
someone gets caught like under a door, and then like
is that when the Wilhelm scream happens?
Yeah, and it slams on him.
Oh,
like, oh, nice.
I remember that part, but I didn't catch the scream.
It was like a little faint.
Yeah,
but I just always appreciate that for some reason.
Yeah.
And then there's like a guy who's just as like a pigeon the whole time.
Yeah, what?
No fucking reason why.
The like third or fourth time we see him, I like lean over to you. I'm like, why is he a pigeon? Because like I didn't think about it until then, because he's obviously like an absurd character. But every time we see him, he's talking to Mark Ruffalo, who's an absurd character as well.
Yeah.
So for whatever reason, it works. But then when Mark Ruffalo isn't there anymore, I'm like, why the fuck is this guy a pigeon?
He just reminds me of that guy in Toy Story 2 who dresses up as like a chicken or something.
He reminds me of the Cloudy the Chance of Meatballs guy. Who's like a mascot. It's the guy that Andy Samberg plays.
Oh, yeah.
And then he eventually turns into chicken because of that movie.
You know, I saw a clip of that and I didn't realize Bill Hader was like the main character.
Yeah.
And so I kind of want to rewatch it.
Bill Hader's the fucking goat. Yeah, that movie's great. Both of them, actually, I really enjoy.
Yeah, I'll have to get around to that when the kiddo's around. I got to make like a kid's list, you know, just like shit that I haven't seen.
Two stars, Letterboxd early.
Yeah, I know. Like, what do you rate that?
Yeah,
five?
And then just show him the 5 stars and just wait until he
can't even
one.
Open his eyes. Yeah. Like 5 stars, he says.
You're like guiding his hand. Like, all right, Toy Story 1. You're like,
You pick 4. The movie. I will look.
That's really funny. You should totally do that. Don't start a credit card for him really or anything. Start his Letterboxd.
Yeah. I'm like, he's seen 3,000 movies. Like, and then like when he turns like 13, like it's your turn.
Yeah, here
you go. Can write the reviews now.
You write all the reviews for him.
I like the juxtaposition of this. Oh, and then we've been playing Split Fiction.
Oh, nice.
Have you bought it?
I haven't bought it yet.
It's awesome, dude.
Is it good?
It's so good.
That's Sarah so calls good.
It Carousel, or Sarah calls it Splitification.
Splitification.
Because it said like # Split Fiction somewhere. She's like, ooh, this game Splitification's out. I'm like, that's not what it's called.
It still works though, in a way. Splitification.
Yeah, but it's tons of fucking fun.
That's awesome. I heard good things so far, but
we have been stuck on a couple, and I have like a page open of like a walkthrough of how to handle some things because we've been fucking stumped on some.
Really? That's cool. Do you like the story and stuff?
Yeah, I feel like they're burning through like a lot of ideas doing this.
They have a lot of ideas.
Yeah,
so you're fine.
And it's cool because like no part has kind of like the same mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's kind of where we get stuck sometimes. Just because you have to kind of figure out how to go through certain parts.
Yeah.
I found out that she's terrible at driving on anything.
But what about in the game, Daniel?
They're even worse in the game. Like one part you're in like a flying car and it's inverted.
She's no.
Up goes down and down goes up. I'm like, okay, then do the opposite.
Yeah.
And I'm just I've just flown enough in games to like have that kind of a second nature.
Yeah.
But it's just really funny.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. I'm proud of you for jumping on that. That's cool.
We're just such like big like It Takes Two fans.
Totally.
And this one looked like the next level of that, and so I hope it's like pretty long. We've put like an hour or two or three into it.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope it just there's a lot of it.
Yeah, well, if we get it, we'll have to get it on PC because I don't have a next gen console.
Yeah,
but that's probably what we'll end up doing, to be honest, is just doing it that way.
How would you play it on a PC if you're both playing it?
There's like remote play that you can do, so there's like a Steam remote play where someone is like the host of the actual session and then somebody just comes in and can interact with it.
Does she have like her own PC?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So, but yeah, I'm excited for that.
Yeah, it's good. Highly recommend.
That does remind me, I did also play a game. I started Baldur's Gate.
Really? Three?
Baldur's Gate 3 with my friends.
Dude, Brandon, guest on the pod.
Yeah.
He like... Baldur's Gate was mentioned like in his vows.
What?
So, yeah, like apparently that's like something that they replay like a lot.
Whoa.
So pretty important game for them.
Yeah, that's cool. I didn't know that. It's a very different game than anything I've ever played, but it's pretty like D&D coded, you know? So, and I've gone through a couple like short D&D campaigns. So it's kind of cool that it translates to a game.
Okay. Well. Yeah, that's probably why they like it. They do that.
Yeah. So, and it's pretty impressive. Like, it kind of feels like Fallout in a way, where it's kind of like, it's very open. You kind of just do whatever at any time. And it's kind of funny, the situations you kind of get put in. And my character's name is Cletoris. And I like that name. They don't.
They give you the name?
They let you name your character.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
And so that's what mine is. But
very good.
It's funny. You can like have sex with people. There's like speed runs to have sex with people in this game.
Hell yeah.
There's someone had sex in like 7 minutes from like the game.
But speedy about that.
Well, like the speed to get to sex.
That'd be like my record.
Yeah, I know. What's the guy? Marathon? Runner marathon, dude. But
it's more like a slow run, dude.
Yeah, it's really funny. It's just like the seeing characters that you're like, you're obviously not a big part of the overall story. So like once you figure that out, you just can kind of be mean to them. You know what I mean?
Okay.
There's somebody that was like playing music and there were like squirrels nearby that were like not vibing with the music. And so you could just tell her that like the squirrels fucking hate your music and you're bad at music. And you could like steal her musical instrument and like run away with it. You know, it's just things like that. It's very open. I don't really understand all the mechanics and leveling up and stats and stuff.
Didn't
like
make
that.
It, like game of the year or something.
Yeah.
Like
last year. I mean, I can see why. It's like, it's very expansive and open to like what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And you could also be naked, which makes a lot of the cutscenes really funny.
Nice.
And I didn't know you could be naked, so I was just in a cutscene
just hanging dong,
and then Parker's character just like, he like took off all of his clothes and he was just, his character model was like in the background of a scene for like 2 seconds, and it was enough for me to be like, what the fuck is your ogre naked right now? So that makes it a lot more entertaining.
Interesting.
But it'll probably be like a 30 or 40 hour playthrough at least. So
that's good.
Big commitment.
And last week, you hit me with the Letterbox game.
Yes, I did.
You hit me with random reviews from my top four.
Yeah.
So I picked some for you.
All righty.
Here we go. I'm ready.
So this will be a random Letterbox review.
Okay. You have to guess what movie.
Yeah, yeah.
His Fitbit numbers would have been through the roof.
Oh, my God. 1917.
Correct.
He does a lot of running in that.
Yeah.
That's a good review.
Have you seen Forrest Gump? Better than that. Have you seen The Hangover? Funnier than that. Have you seen The Titanic? Sadder than that.
Is that How to Train Your Dragon?
It is.
Wow. What a review. And 100%, I agree. Retweet.
As Owen Wilson would say, wow.
Arrival?
Yeah.
Okay.
How are you going to go undefeated on this?
Well, like, I don't know if Hot Rod has like a big wow factor, you know what I mean? You know? So, but Arrival does.
This movie never would have happened in a country with socialized healthcare.
Dude, that's my favorite. I've seen that one. And that is such a, that's the perfect like Letterbox review, I think.
To be like, oh my God, if that happened, then this movie has no plot.
Yeah, if medical insurance was just better in general, this movie wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
Hot Rod wouldn't have needed to get
It seems weird that
heart surgery.
You would have like socialized healthcare and then you can just get a new heart.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be free, but it'd be like reasonable.
And it's still like, you're still on a wait list and stuff. You don't just get hearts. You know, they don't have them in the back. You know what I mean? But yeah, it is such a concept to us Americans, unfortunately.
Dang. Well, you just went 4 for 4.
Good yeah. Those were good, though. Those were like vague enough, but
I had to like them, you know?
Yeah.
Because like some will be just like thought out reviews, you know,
totally. Which and, is like, I've realized I don't care about those.
Yeah. I'm more looking for like comments.
Yeah.
You know,
I like the joke. I saw one for the monkey.
Oh, really?
The movie, just like a random one. And it was like, every time the monkey showed up on screen, I pointed to my wife and I was like, that's the monkey. So she wouldn't be confused. And I'm like, I'm going to do that from now on. That's such a funny bit.
Yeah, because like, the monkey just like shows up
in
places. No one puts it anywhere. You know, it just popped up.
That's funny. But for the listeners, it's my top four. It's Hot Rod, How to Train Your Dragon 2, incredible movie. Arrival, incredible movie. 1917, really good movie.
Very good movie.
And I watched it on a plane and I was still floored by it, even though the screen was much smaller. 1917.
I think I did too.
It's just good, man.
No, I saw that in theaters.
Yeah. I saw it in theaters too, but I saw it again on a plane and I was like, this is still a banger.
Yeah. Even on a
plane.
Yeah, it's a good movie. Cool. Good shit. What are you gonna read next week, Nathan?
What are we gonna read next week?
We're done with War Month.
We're done with war. No more war. So let's get into a chaser book, perhaps, for the Snow White movie.
Yeah, good old Vertigo book.
Vertigo. Oh, my God.
An actually uplifting publisher.
So Fables, this is what we're going to do, right? Because of Snow White, the movie coming out.
Correct.
Or it will be out by the time we've read it. Right. I have no idea anything about Fables. So
I think I started
it. Be happy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe it is.
It could be happy.
It's based on Disney characters or whatever.
Yeah, those are happy.
I think I started it because it was like long and like, you know, well regarded. It comes up on lists a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the top all time kind of thing.
And it does quite often.
And it was like recently up in like the comic news because the creator just wanted to be in public domain. And he just like announced it was in public domain. Yeah, he announced
putting it in public domain.
And then DC's like, I don't think you can do that or something. But
yeah, and I think there's a legal battle that ensued, but it's still kind of badass.
Yeah.
If you ask me. So yeah.
Because fuck it.
Fables, pretty famous book.
Yeah.
So, tune in next week for that.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, everybody. Link tree in the bio. You can like, comment, subscribe, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm,
Give us a good old 5 stars.
Yes, only.
If you listen to this episode, you can rate us now.
Yep. Only now, though.
Yeah. Tell us what your favorite war comic we reviewed.
Did we miss the mark?
Yeah. Was there a better one? Should we just do all Garth Ennis war comics? Because we totally could.
And oh, my God. There's so many. My mental health can't handle that. What's your favorite absolute series so far? Let us know.
Yeah. TraversPod@gmail.com. And right, go peace. Bye.